Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hello, y'all. Before we get into this episode of Small Doses Podcast, I want to remind you that you can check out bonus episodes of Small Doses Podcast weekly as a member of Patreon. Come and join the Seal Squad. All you got to do is go to Patreon Amanda Seals or go to theamandaverse.com and subscribe. We have three tiers, all right? We got Morrison, we got Baldwin, and we have an Amanda we trust. So we got 5, 12, and 20. Now, the beautiful thing about this, though, is that if you join at the $5 level, you still get access to our bonus episodes. But if you join at the new Baldwin tier, you get video of Small Doses Podcast as well as of Small Doses Bonus. Now, I know y'all are like, wait, what you mean I get video? We're no longer putting videos of Small Doses Podcast in full on YouTube. So if you want to see the facial expressions that go along with what you're hearing, you got to check on our Patreon. Small Doses videos will now be on Patreon in the Baldwin tier. So all you got to do is come and subscribe, show your love, and be a part of the Seal Squad. Also want to remind you, I've got new tour dates, y'all. I've got new tour dates. I just announced dates in June in Detroit. What up, though? What up, though? Okay. Also, I will be in Dallas. That's coming up in April. Also, we got Boston and we have Baltimore going down in May. And we have a lot more dates that are about to be announced. So if you haven't signed up for the newsletter at AmandaSeals.com, then that's something you need to do ASAPtuously so that you make sure that you don't miss out on announcements of shows and dates that are happening. Because you know the algorithm be trying to play your girl. So I got to get y'all over at the newsletter so that y'all can make sure that Mark and the peoples are not getting in the way of our connectivity. All right. So that's how it's going down. If you haven't checked out my radio show, The Amanda Seals Show, remember that you can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. So where you are right now, listen to this. After you haven't had enough Amanda in your life, all you got to do is search for The Amanda Seals Show and boom, check us out every day. All right. Let's get into this next episode of Small Doses Podcast.
Self-help from the hip.
Small doses.
We're talking that shit.
Small doses.
And keeping it real.
Small doses.
With me and Amanda Seals.
It's so funky. Welcome to another episode of Small Doses. Amanda Seals here. So today's episode is actually inspired by you guys because I did a Instagram video where I talked about how in my, you know what, let me just show y'all the video.
I don't know about y'all, but in my personal life, I feel like I've spent a lot of time trying not to require too much, not to require too much emotionally from my friends, from my partners, from my family, you know, because I guess probably early on, I realized that like there wasn't much that could be given and that if you require too much, then people feel some type of way, right? I've lost friends because I wanted them to call me back and was like, hey, like I don't know why you're not calling me back. And it's like, oh, you're too demanding, right? So, and I've always been like a super hyper tapped in person to my emotions. And so I feel like I somehow became conscious of like, okay, so if you just don't require too much, then like people won't leave you. But the reality is people leave you. People leave you for a myriad of reasons. But ultimately, like, what is too much? And I think when you start examining that, you start to realize that for the most part, this is a world that isn't emotionally available. So even wanting just like the basics is a lot, let alone being very tapped in. But I decided recently in like the past couple of years that I'm just going to ask for what I am, for what I give. And that those who are down for that, they stay down. And those who aren't, they stay distant. And it works out for anybody. But in case you're wondering, you know, like wanting things like accountability, wanting things like responsiveness, wanting things like reciprocal attentiveness for, you know, life-ing, you know, just kind of wanting things like quality time, wanting things like self-awareness, you know, compassion. These are things that I don't think a lot of us allow ourselves to want because we're told that it is too much to expect this from people. But it is not. And it's absolutely not too much when you expect it from yourself. Get what you give.
So there it is, right? I think that's a feeling a lot of us have had, this idea that we are maybe too much because people have made us to feel like we're too much for asking for really kind of like basic human decency. You know how like common sense ain't common. I feel like humans ain't decencing like they used to decence. Or maybe they never did. But ultimately, I think a lot of us feel this way. And so we change. We change how we exist in the world to accommodate the lack thereof versus to build people up to where we should be. Because, of course, it's a scarcity mindset. And also, it takes courage. It takes courage to be your fucking self, okay? In a world of just a lot of everybody pretending to be somebody else, it takes courage to say, no, I'm going to be me, and that's going to be all right. Like, that's going to be good enough. You're talking to somebody who at one point wanted to unalive myself because I did not feel like I would ever be happy being myself. It was like, well, if I'm myself, and when I'm myself, people react this way, then I'm always going to be unhappy. So what's the point of even being here? Like, that was the math. But eventually, through a good old dose of therapy and boxing and affirmations, et cetera, I got more confident in not only being myself, but being able to identify the realities that it's not that I'm being too much, but I'm in spaces that offer too little. And I can curate those spaces and not have to take that personal. So today's episode, Side Effects of Being Too Much, is really about how a lot of us are existing in a world that wants us to be less in touch with our emotions, that wants us to be less in touch with each other, right? That wants us to be less in touch with ourselves, but that's like our natural instinct. And so we feel like we're fighting that. But I also want to talk about how if you're somebody who may not be hypersensitive, right? Who may not be hyperexpressive, who may not be like really trying to get connection, how you can also be a safe space without having to be repelling to those who are like different than you. Because ultimately, we are all here together. We are all here together in varying degrees of person. All of us are unique. When I stand in an airport, one of the things that always I marvel at in an airport is like, so we all different? Like that's crazy. And we're all going somewhere? That's crazy. And every single person here has a whole life history? That's crazy. But it's true. And so the more that we can have some level of, I don't even like the word tolerance, but openness to that, I feel like the better we can get in touch with ourselves. So today we're talking about side effects of too much, and we got to get into this gem drop because I got to explain the difference between too much, quote unquote, and okay, you're actually being OD. Never too much, never too much, never too much. Bam, 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 bam. Oh, okay. Sorry. Luther moment.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know, Black media is really its own unique space because the Black existence, particularly in America, is its own unique space. And even as we are watching that erasure and the legislative effort to undermine the necessity to be literally intentional with making spaces for Black people in a country that was very intentional and continues to be intentional in keeping Black people out of spaces of equity, we know that Black media has to be on top of that. We know that Black media has to be able to speak to our unique existence. So when it comes to the next generation of influential Black voices, I'm really happy to see that they can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle.
Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. So hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and bliggity Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Jam dropping. Jam dropping. Jam dropping. We're dropping on these hoes. So today's jam drop is being quote unquote too much versus actually being too much. Let's break it down. So when someone has told me in the past that I was quote unquote too much, it has always been related to me simply existing as a joyful person. I'm not even exaggerating. I can name three different times where someone has said, "You're just too much." And their reasoning when I ask, like, what about it is too much? Someone literally said to me, "You just seem like you're happy all the time." And that's just a problem. It's a problem for Jordy. I know, that's how I felt, Jordy. That's how I felt. Come here, though. Come here. You're not too much. Actually, at one point, I did think you were too much. Come here, Jordy. I thought you were too much, and I got scared, and I thought I was going to have to give you away. But here we are. Some people have said that you're too much on this podcast. They're like, oh, my God, the dog is doing so much. But you know what? That's what this podcast is. So receive it. So here's the thing. When that person said to me, like, you just seem like you're happy all the time, it was also wild to me because I was like, I am absolutely not happy all the time. I'm not happy all the time. But for them, even the illusion of simply just being consistently happy when they see me, or they only saw me when I was doing my work and my work makes me happy, that felt like too much for them. But at the time, I didn't have the language to really understand that that was a reflection of them and not me. Right? I took that in as like, oh, I'm being annoying and I'm making someone not like me, et cetera, et cetera. When really it's like, damn, if someone being joyous is too much for you, that sucks for you. That sucks. But the concept of too much has been explained to me sometimes verbally, but most times in action, right? Like you feel like people are being pushed away by you wanting to bring them closer. And sometimes your efforts to bring them closer are literally just you wanting reciprocation. Can you call me back when I call you? Can you not leave me hanging if we have plans? Can you be responsive to my emotions, etc.? Now, when I'm talking about it right now, it feels like a one-sided friendship because that's what it becomes if the other person doesn't have that reciprocation. Sometimes maybe that other person doesn't feel like they can do any of those things with you, and that's a whole other episode. But the truth is that too much, in quotes, when it's not really explained, can really be very dehumanizing is not the word. And I don't want to say, well, I'll just say, no, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like taking your spirit. I know somebody's in their car yelling it at the speaker right now. It is it's like sobering. It sucks. It's something. D's nuts. I can't remember what it is right now, but it sucks. Okay. We'll settle on disappointing. It's not an SAT word, but it gets the job done. Now, on the other hand, there is a version of being too much. And 9 times out of 10, that version of being too much is just lack of self-awareness and wanting more from a scenario than either you're bringing to it or than it calls for. I think a lot of us have probably had situations where maybe someone came on too strong and that felt like too much. And it wasn't necessarily that that person themselves is too much, but it's that it doesn't match
where we are in the process. The action or the desire doesn't match where we are in the process. And so it feels like too much. It's low-key like if you're growing a plant, you gotta manage how much water you give the plant. Because if you put too much water, you will drown the plant. And then it won't be able to grow. It won't be able to develop. It's that type of vibe. And that's a real thing that happens to some of us because, well, we don't know how to be fucking friends. We don't know how to be friends. We maybe didn't have friends, or maybe our parents didn't really like socialize us in that way, or maybe we saw our parents have friends in the same manner, and so now we're mimicking that behavior. But whatever it is, there are times where we have had to either deal with that or where we've shown up in that way, and it's been probably very disappointing. It's also the kind of thing that really can jar you. And the best case in that scenario is to be graceful with yourself. Because a lot of times you're doing something without you don't have the negative intention, but the too much that the other person is talking about feels negative because it feels harmful, right? Because it's either making them feel like they're not enough, or it's making them feel like they are not your equal. And if that's someone you actually do want as a friend or a partner, then that's not going to work, right? That balance is not there. And the imbalance is where we end up in conflict. Being quote unquote too much, remember the quote unquote too much, also is a sign of imbalance. Because sometimes it's really just that person doesn't love you the way you love them. Or that person doesn't love the way that you love, right? Because that's another thing. You can feel like too much to someone who doesn't have that same love language, right? You can feel like too much to someone who doesn't have the experience of even receiving love or friendship. So they don't have the actual tools to even break down. It's like how your body needs certain processes to break down certain vitamins, et cetera. And like you can have a deficiency, right? If your body doesn't know how to break down vitamin D, then it can't even accept vitamin D. That's the same thing with actual emotions. Some people don't have the actual tools to know how to break down the emotions so that it can feed them. So it just feels like toxic. It feels like a frustration because they're constantly having to face something that they can't manage. And so it feels like too much. You are reminding me of my inability to be able to process this with just your existence. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in that situation with the lovers. I've told y'all this on this podcast several times. I've had men say to me straight up, I can't be with you because you're too good of a person and I'm not equipped to process that and give it back equally. Now, did I walk away? No, of course not. No, of course not. I said, no, we can build the tools together. We can mine it. We can mine for the ore and we can shape it. And then we can fashion it into something that will allow you to be able to process my love. And that's when I went from too much in quotes to too much for real. Okay? Because now I'm giving to something and someone that has very clearly stated, I cannot receive this. So this is now too much. It's overflowing. You understand? The levee done broke. But both of these things can seem kind of like esoteric, right? They can seem kind of nebulous. But in reality, we are a world of individuals trying to figure out and manage how to be in this world of individuals. And when it comes down to it, the best thing you can do is learn about you. And learn about what type of person you are. Are you somebody that needs a little bit more help in showing up with emotions? Are you somebody that is very advanced and is an emotional intellectual? You know, you can be fair to yourself and say, I didn't get that from my parents, or I didn't get that from my experience. You know, you can say that to yourself and be honest with yourself. And the sooner that you do that, the more you can do for yourself and love for yourself and provide for yourself. Because there is never too much work and love that you can give yourself in order to receive the overabundance of much that exists here in this world. I feel like I'm wearing the right outfit for this episode. I feel very guru. Let's go to these DMTs.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know, Black media is really its own unique space because the Black existence, particularly in America, is its own unique space. And even as we are watching that erasure and the legislative effort to undermine the necessity to be literally intentional with making spaces for Black people in a country that was very intentional and continues to be intentional in keeping Black people out of spaces of equity, we know that Black media has to be on top of that. We know that Black media has to be able to speak to our unique existence. So when it comes to the next generation of influential Black voices, I'm really happy to see that they can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. So hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and bliggity Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
First question. If the person receives the constructive criticism that they are being too much and they adjust their behavior accordingly, how do they protect themselves from constantly dimming their light in an effort to make other people comfortable?
Well, I think that really becomes like, what is the energy that's being told is too much, right? Because I think there's a difference between your energy and your actions, right? And that's the difference. Like when you're dimming your light, that is a fucking problem. There's no version of dimming your light that I think is okay. And it's like, okay, what do we consider dimming your light? Is it maybe you're talking too much somewhere? Is it like you're being too loud? And so someone's like, hey, can you bring that down? Is that considered a dimming your light scenario? Well, we have to wonder, like, what is the situation? Is Lauren Boebert dimming her light by being told not to get felt up and raise her hands and make noise while she's in the audience of Beetlejuice? No, that's just being respectful. So I think sometimes we have to also understand there's a time and place for all parts of ourselves, right? And I have had to come to understand, like, my awareness of that is not a diminishment. It's a refinement. You feel me? It's a refinement. So, like, if I'm in a class and I know all the answers, am I dimming my light by not raising my hand for every answer? No. Because I'm also being considerate to the fact that there are other people in the class that need to learn too. And sometimes you have to understand that your emotional intelligence is really greater than others. And if that is the case, you are going to have a hyper awareness that other people don't have. It's just part of the great plan of things, in my opinion. Like, all of us are given gifts, and ideally it's like Tetris, and all that fits together if we're conscious of them. I really, really believe in like this like utopian world where we're all conscious of what our gifts are, and we can be like, oh, that's your gift? Go ahead with that gift. This is my gift. Let me rock out with my gift right now. So I would never ever say like, you should dim your light because someone gave you constructive criticism. Constructive criticism will not ask you to dim your light. Constructive criticism will encourage you to refine it. Next question.
How will the person who's being told they're quote unquote too much determine if the feedback is coming from a person who has insecurities of not being enough? Does it feel like love? That's a real thing. Does it feel like love? Now, a friend of mine was telling me that her quote unquote friend said to her, you know, I just feel like you're doing too much. And she said, okay, can you help me understand what that means? And when she gave her the examples, she said it didn't feel like love. It felt like judgment. And when she expressed to her, this doesn't feel like love, it feels like judgment, the friend said, well, you can take it how you want to. Now, baby, when someone say that to you, that's not love. Like, that lets you know right there what it is. But again, there's no like exact science to this. You know what I mean? Like, I think ultimately you're trying to figure things out. And sometimes you have to practice the pause. Let that person say what they need to say to you. And, you know, you can take it in or let it exist between you in like a safe space that you haven't taken into yourself yet and ponder it and come back to it. There's this expediency that a lot of us have sometimes. It's not really fair. You know, I try my best to like bring things to people's attention and then let it marinate and then come back to it. Like, okay, now that we've marinated, let's address it. But there isn't an exact like, okay, you do this step and then you do this step and then you follow with this step. And then there's a possibility that you could do this step. There isn't anything like that that I can prescribe. But I will say that the person who's told they're too much, a lot of times is someone who is a hypersensitive person. It's usually somebody who's an empath, who's very in touch with their feelings. And so thus they're very expressive about things in a world that's not accustomed to that. So those things, the expressiveness, the hypersensitivity, the empathicness, those are gifts that allow you to read energy. You can allow yourself to use those tools. So when someone's telling you these things, you're listening, but you're also feeling, you know, what does this feel like? This doesn't feel like love. When I was moving to LA and I ran into a person that I thought was a friend and I told her I was moving to LA and I was so excited. She was like, oh, that's so great for you because no one likes you here. And, you know, I think in her mind, she felt like she was, quote unquote, just being honest, which is also a ploy that people use to just be assholes. That was something I had to really learn in my life, that like telling the truth doesn't always need to be told in this fashion or at this time. Like, there's also a tactfulness in how and when you tell the truth, right? And she then followed it by saying, you know, I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings, because I did say to her, I sent her an email after. I said, you know, I really felt like that was really hurtful. And I just felt like there was a different route that you could have gone to express whatever issue you have with me. And she said, well, I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. I was just trying to keep it real with you. I mean, it's not to say that you won't still be successful. I mean, there have been a lot of people that are successful, even if they're not good leaders. Side note, I don't know where she is now, but we see where I am. But I gotta say, you know what? Even in her hurtfulness of how she delivered that, it did make me become thoughtful about, one, not wanting to be around people like that, but two, how am I being perceived? Because clearly this person is receiving me in a way that I'm not trying to put out. And after a lot of self-assessment, I realized like, well, two things can be true at the same time, right? Like, this person is receiving this also because this person was lazy as hell. And when you acknowledge that on a job, they felt some type of way. Now, did you call them out in the field? No, you actually pulled them to the side and said, you know, can you step up in these ways? And they felt some type of way about that. And here we are. But that doesn't mean that there aren't better tools that I could have used to equip myself and my team in order to avoid this from the gate. But I say all of that to say that that didn't feel like love when she said it to me. And that that same messaging could have been delivered to me and come across to me in a far more compassionate way. And I just happened to figure it out. So there's that. Next question. If you have a friend that's quote unquote too much, can that friendship survive? Why do some people think you're doing quote unquote too much when you try to elevate and grow your circle? Because they feel like they're being left behind. That's why. It feels like they're being left behind. You know, you're doing too much because they don't have the capacity to go where you're going. And they know that. And so that's a lot of times why they'll blow it up. Right? Because they see where you're going. They see that you want to elevate. And
They either don't see it for themselves or they don't want it for themselves. My relationship ended. There's a number of things that were percolating, but ultimately the final breaking point was me saying, I want to elevate. I want to mature. I want us to go into a new phase. And I think we need to go back to therapy in order to get there. I think we need to just really commit ourselves to some self-practices, et cetera. But I just feel like there's something better for us and I want us to get there. And he didn't see that for him. He didn't see that for me. He didn't see that for us. And so he blew it up. And that doesn't just happen in romantic relationships. That happens in family, right? I mean, I've spent months now just back and forth with my mother because I'm like, we got to elevate. I'm coming up here. I will never abandon you. I will never leave you out in the cold, etc. But if I'm up here and you're not trying to go to therapy and you're not trying to heal, you're not even making the effort, there will be a distance. There will be a boundary, literally by nature of the fact that I am elevating to a different vibration that you don't inhabit. That's above me, literally. Literally. So that's why they feel like it's too much. You're changing. Yes, thank God. Thank God I'm changing. Now, unless the version of changing that they're talking about is, you know, when did you start wearing two Rolexes at the same time and and getting BBLs? That's a different, you know, that's a different, that would, because that feels like out of character, okay? Y'all know I only wear one Rolex at one time. You know what I'm saying? Throw your Rolex in the sky, wear it side to side, keep your ass high, flex. I have a couple rapper purchases that I've done in my life, and that's one of them. You know, I was an MC, so that's one of them. The other was my Benz with red seats. But we're done, okay? We're done. I never got the chain. But you know what we're not done with? The questions. Because we got to go to the Amandaverse. Yes, the SEAL Squad is going to get some special answers to some of these special questions that y'all have sent me. So if you want to get in on it, because I really feel like I'm in my bag today, go on over to Patreon, Amanda Seals, or you can also get there by going to theamandaverse.com.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know, Black media is really its own unique space because the Black existence, particularly in America, is its own unique space. And even as we are watching that erasure and the legislative effort to undermine the necessity to be literally intentional with making spaces for Black people in a country that was very intentional and continues to be intentional in keeping Black people out of spaces of equity, we know that Black media has to be on top of that. We know that Black media has to be able to speak to our unique existence. So when it comes to the next generation of influential Black voices, I'm really happy to see that they can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. So hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and bliggity Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
That one time.
So we record here in my office, and I can see out of my peripheral all of my journals from the past 23 years. They start in 1999. I think actually one of those journals, pass me that journal right there, the far left. Yep. I mean, this journal is from 1988. So let's just see how long I've been too much. Yesterday at the YMCA, I got a visit from the firemen. We couldn't go in the ambulance because there was because there was an injury. On Saturday, I went to a picnic with the counselor at the YMCA named Dewana and her daughter. Her daughter's name is Tanika. Shout out to Tanika. Yesterday, I went to ice skating lessons and I took my ballet pictures. And at the YMCA, we went to the park and we went roller skating. So, you know, here I feel like I'm still pretty just direct, right? We're just talking about the things that are happening and how they're happening. And this is while I'm in LA. Is this a letter from my father? How did it go? The movie and your friends' first impressions. I have got to know. Anyway, I am next. We will likely go this week. I can't wait to see you in action. What did your mom and June think? Be sure as a bet. Your mom is very proud. We both are. Congrats, Dad. So my father was nice at one point, apparently, according to this letter. So what I'm doing right now is I'm taking you on a journey. Let me see that other one right there. Because I know that this is when I arrived in Orlando, Florida in third grade. It begins. August 21st, 1989. I moved here a few weeks ago and I'm having fun already. I have a lot of friends here. I moved here from California. I have a lot of friends there too. How come we don't have recess? And how come lunch is so early? School is more fun here than in California. And the school I went to in California was smaller than this too. And 200 kids went. And the yard was big too. Oh, and does the school have an auditorium? Y'all, this is my first journal entry. I want y'all to know I have been, quote unquote, too much for a long time. Because I feel like I have always been tapped in. And I know a lot of people have felt this way. You have felt tapped in for a long time. You felt tapped in before the world expected you to be tapped in. Because really, folks don't expect you to know shit until you're an adult. But when you're a kid is when most people actually are the most tapped in. It's when they're the most tapped into their own emotions. It's when they're the most tapped into other people's emotions. And I don't think enough of us really acknowledge that it's emotions making this whole world go round. Here's a Baldwin clip for you.
There may not be, you know, as much humanity in the world as one would like to see, but there is some. There's more than one would think. In any case, if you break faith with what you know, that's a betrayal of many, 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 many people. I may know 6 people, but that's enough. Love has never been a popular movement, and no one's ever wanted really to be free. The world is held together, really it is held together, by the love and the passion of very few people. Otherwise, of course, you can despair. Walk down the street of any city, any afternoon, and look around you. What you got to remember is what you're looking at is also you. Everyone you're looking at is also you. You could be that person. You could be that monster. You could be that cop. And you have to decide in yourself not to be.
You heard what he said. It's the kindness and the people that's really keeping this whole thing together. Because otherwise it would all fall apart. I really have spent a whole life being told that I cared too much, that I loved too much, that I wanted too much in exchange for caring and love. And by wanting too much, these were the things that I would want. I would want quality time. And not just time, quality time. I would want response. I would want compassion. I would want a listening ear. We're not taught these things. Like, I genuinely feel like we are not taught those things. And so for my whole life, it really felt like wanting those things was not fair. It wasn't fair for me to want those things from other people, even though I was very willing to provide them. It seemed like I was an alien, and I really felt for a while like, oh, you're just not from here. That's really what the problem is. You're not from here, and you're trying to adapt to a species or a people that aren't your people. Now, okay, let's be real. The fact remains to be seen. I might actually not be from here. Like, oh, Earth is ghetto. I want to leave. Can you please come pick me up on the street? But that being said, like, I am here. And it, as I got older and I would kind of express this to some people, I started to realize I wasn't alone in this. And then when I put up that video on Instagram, I really responded to the fact that so many of the people responding to that video said, I have felt this way my whole life. I have had to adjust and make changes that weren't for me, but they were for other people because I felt like I was too much. And now I don't feel like myself. I'm somebody who is now going through a transformative process. I'm starting to feel more like myself than I ever have in my life. And I think it's largely in part because I am creating boundaries and space for me to live how I want to live and not have to react to things and do things in the protective way that I've been taught to live. And I taught myself to live like that because I didn't want to push people away by being too much. I didn't want people to feel like I wasn't worth their friendship by being too much. I didn't want people to judge me by being too much. And so I made adjustments. And those adjustments were to my detriment because I wasn't getting fed the way that I really needed to be, right? And it feels like these are sacrifices that we make just to be a part of civilization or society, but it starts to hurt you as you get older because it feels like you are not getting those nutrients that you needed. Remember how I said earlier in the show, like there's people that can't break down the love or the nutrients that you've given them. Well, it also works in the reverse where it's like, yeah, I can break them down and I'm not getting enough of it. And so you have to be honest with yourself about, well, what do you actually need? Not what you think you need, not what society tells you you should need, but what do you actually need? And then you ask yourself, why do I need that? That's how you start really getting to the groundwork, okay? Ari Lennox recently did an interview where she said that in her sobriety, she feels like she needs so much outside validation. She just needs constant outside validation. And I get that because you're doing something that feels literally wrong because your body is adjusting to an addiction. So your body chemically is like, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. So you need the outside to be louder than what's going on inside. I get that. I totally get that. Hopefully, though, she will get the support she needs so that she can now start changing the voices that are happening within her body and within her mind so that those voices can always be louder than whatever is coming inside from outside, whether it's good or bad. I don't feel like that's an extreme. I think even if you haven't had an addiction, you have voices inside of you that oftentimes were trained and tuned by the things happening outside of you. And you start trying to not only deal with how do I not push away people outside, but how do I also not feel like this inside? So much of this is really tough to like weed through because I feel like a lot of us are just trying to make it. You know what I mean? Like you're just trying to make it. You're trying to make this dollar out of 15 cents. You're trying to make this relationship work that just seems like it's not, you know, you're trying to get along with your parents, your family, et cetera. And so we don't get a lot of time to try and get along with ourselves. And so we make these adjustments. But if you're watching or you're listening and you feel like I'm talking to you, maybe try to find some time to give to yourself. Because I know for me, the switch happened when I realized that I wasn't going to get what I wanted, whether I acted how people wanted me to or not. Because that wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't about how I needed to behave with these people. The issue was about being able to identify who are your people, right? And you're never going to be able to do that if you can't live your true self and be too much. Because you're not too much. Some people are just not enough. It becomes too much, like I said in the gem drop-in, when it's not real. It's not aligned with the reality of the situation. And you might have a scenario where you're not even able to really tell true reality. And that's something you need to work on. Because sometimes your perception is fucked up because you came up in a situation that was fucked up. But you know what? We can correct the lens. We can correct the lens. A lot of this is about just admitting to ourselves who we really are and finding a way to truly love that. And then you find people who truly love that. And you don't got to have a lot of people. That's also a ridiculous thing, right? 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 Like this idea that you have a lot of people. Look at me in this. I'm 8 already. Like I have a lot of friends here and I have a lot of friends there too. Look at my friends I have. I'm so full of friends. No, you're an only child and you're lonely. That's what's happening. You're an only child and you're lonely. And so, you know, there it is. And I think that we learn this too much thing also because we live in a society, particularly in a Western society of America, that has been created by white male colonizers who have not by any means given a damn about emotions. They are driven by greed and they are driven by power. And that greed and power are not about emotional intelligence. The only emotional intelligence that they have is how to manipulate others. The people who are seeking greed and power are only emotionally intelligent for the sake of harming others. So we don't live in a setup that honors emotional intelligence as a community building tactic. We honor emotional intelligence as a community breaking tactic. That is the Willie Lynch syndrome. That is divide and conquer. So it is no wonder that we have such a hard god dang time breaking through to the other side and being able to consider these things as valuable. But they are. You're being told you're too much because we are raised in a situation of deficit. This is a situation of deficit. We are in America. For those of us listening who are here in America, we are being raised on an Indian burial ground, a graveyard. Like when we really come to understand the true realities of our situational awareness, there's so much effort that we have to do to get to become true to ourselves. So much effort because there's so many obstacles in our way that were put here before we even got here, right? For the white girls that are listening, for the white people that are listening, that are like, damn, I want to be a good white person. You got to first start with being like, why Moni and Jeremiah laugh? Damn, I want to be a good white person. You got to first start by realizing there's no such thing as a good white person. There's only good people who happen to be white. The ownership of whiteness, there is nothing positive in it whatsoever. There has never been anything positive that came out of being proud to be white. I'm pausing so you can hear that. And this is the system that we're in. This is the situation we're in. Patriarchy also does not bring forth the embracing of your too muchness. Patriarchy says, shut that shit down and get a job. Go take a fucking nap, you know? I remember when my mom was walking through the living room one time and the Cash Money Millionaires were on the television and they were rapping bling bling. And my mom said, why don't they put that shirt on and get that job? And I was like, you do understand that we're watching them do their job right now, right? We're watching it. I grew up in a home with a parent who is an immigrant and who is from the Caribbean. So there wasn't going to be a lot of emotional exchange happening, right? There wasn't going to be a lot of like warm cuddles in the hard times happening. I feel like that's when we need them the most, but that's when they're like the least available. It's great to get the warm cuddles when you hit honor roll, but what about when you fell through the glass table? You know, when I fell through the glass table, it's not like my mom came over and was like, oh, man, you okay? No, my mom was like, how did you do that? And here I am at 42. And like the memories are like starting to come back. And I think the memories are coming back because I am for once finally allowing myself to be too much. I'm being my whole self. And whoever fuck with it, fuck with it. Whoever don't, well, you know, they can move out and not call me again. Because that's what we're doing at this point. Because I still haven't heard from this nigga. Still never heard from him. But that's another conversation for another time. Be too much anyone who calls you too much in quotes and isn't speaking to your action, but is speaking to your character, is not speaking true. I want you to hear me say that. If someone's speaking to your action, there may be truth to that. If someone says, I feel like this is too much and this is why, that to me is a fair conversation. And you can take it or leave it, right? But that to me can be a fair conversation. I feel like this behavior right here is too much and this is why. Then you can say, well, this is where this came from, or this is what my intention was, or this is why I was reacting this way. I can tell you now, like, I know that in my relationship, there were times where I could have been far more measured in my response to things that were frustrating to me. And not things necessarily between us, but just things in the world that were frustrating to me. I would let myself feel all of them. You know, when we got the patio furniture back, we got the pillows for the patio furniture and they were the wrong color. I was like, oh my God, these are the wrong color. It was a whole thing. I was doing too much. I was doing too much. I know why though. I know why. Because I was really actually upset because I had trusted this other person to handle it. And I was questioning whether I should have trusted them to handle it. And then I even asked, like, hey, should I see the swatch of color? And they were like, yeah, it's the one you liked before, so it's fine. And I didn't do my extra due diligence. And then it didn't come out the way I wanted it. So I'm really mad at myself. I'm mad at myself, but I'm expressing it outward. And so that's too much. And I had to apologize for that. Because you're doing too much. If you're mad at yourself, be mad at yourself by yourself, okay? Or with your therapist. But don't bring that shit over here. It's not fair. It's not fair. And that's a lot of times what being too much for real is. It's just not fair. You're not giving a person the fairness. But if someone says to you, you're too much, nah. I ain't never heard nobody say that and it actually be fair. You're too much? Like as a human existing, you're too much. I mean, I remember in college, I ended up asking my roommates to have a powwow with me because none of them liked me and I had no idea why. Like when I got to the suite, my day one, they had written my name off the door and thrown it on the ground. And I remember Devon actually being like, oh shit, they threw your name on the ground. That's crazy. And I was like, these are who I'm going to live with for the next year. These seven broads. And so maybe like 3 weeks in, I was like, I'd like to ask you guys to like sit with me on a Friday and let's pass around tequila shots and y'all can each tell me why you don't like me. And the ringleader, Jennifer, ultimately was like, I just feel like you're too much. And I was like, okay, but why? And she was like, I feel like you're a show off. And that was interesting. She said, I feel like you're a show off. And I had to think about that. Was I a show off? Yes, I am a show off. Meaning that if you ask me to do something I can do, I'm gonna do it. Is that a show off? I don't know. Is that a show off? I mean, people would ask me like, oh, can you do a flip? Well, yes, I can do a flip. But then she felt like me doing the flip was me being a show off. But I feel like that was also her just not being happy that she could do it. Like, she's like, oh, she's trying to do too much because she's doing this and we can't do this. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. You know what? I'm going to take that back. I'm not a show off. I'm a showman. Ta-da! I'm a thespian. We going to perform, honey. The stage. All the world's a stage. And all the men and women are really merely players. But that was a time where I really was proud of myself because I held them to task. If y'all gonna treat me like shit, at least tell me why. And when it boiled down to it, we left that night friends. We cleared the air and there was an actual effort made from that point forward to become friends. Now, is she the same friend who later said, you're too much because you want me to call you back? Yes, but that was years and years later. I feel like she had also lost a bunch of weight and like became a different person, but that's a whole other episode.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know, Black media is really its own unique space because the Black existence, particularly in America, is its own unique space. And even as we are watching that erasure and the legislative effort to undermine the necessity to be literally intentional with making spaces for Black people in a country that was very intentional and continues to be intentional in keeping Black people out of spaces of equity, we know that Black media has to be on top of that. We know that Black media has to be able to speak to our unique existence. So when it comes to the next generation of influential Black voices, I'm really happy to see that they can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. So hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and bliggity Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The last dose.
Anywho, I say all of this to say, you will always be too much in a world that does not value people. It doesn't value our bodies. It doesn't value our souls, our spirits, our minds. This is a world that at this point values possession and it values money for the most part. So it is courageous to place value on your spirit and how people are feeding that and how you are feeding that. And when you are in touch with that, it feels like too much because that's not what the world is in touch with. But I do believe that if enough of us can allow ourselves to bring value to that in the face of a world that doesn't, we start to shift the value system. We start to shift the energy space. We start to shift the vibration. And when you hear people talking about wellness and the pursuit of happiness, it's not a selfish act. There is a selflessness in bringing joy to yourself, especially when it's going to allow you to bring more joy to the world. Joy to the world. I'm at a point in my life where I can literally feel myself shifting to a space of peace. And I don't think I've thought that was ever a real destination that I could arrive at. But I also understand that the reason why that's happening is because I have removed or created distance from the sources and forces that were demanding my diminishment. So I implore you to explore you and to get to the bottom of the well and the extent of your perimeters and map that shit out and learn all of that and live it and love it and then invite people into it who respect it. You ain't too much. They just not enough.